I forgot to ask you. Did you listen this morning when they announced the $10,000 Pick Your Prize winner?
Who was it? No.
Well, I think they wanted us to announce it at 5:20 today, too, so we'll do that in about 15 minutes.
All right, we're going to wait. The person already knows. They've already done their happy dance all day.
Okay, can I just tell you? Yeah. So we had the woman call in. We were talking about at-home births, and she told us about this thing called chucks, and they're like rubber sheet covers. I went and looked them up. I am being inundated.
Oh, yeah, you will be.
With at-home birthing
things. Harry and Meghan got an organic bed covers.
Organic chucks.
But I'm getting the diaper chucks. I'm getting the rubber padded chucks. I'm getting everything chuck-like. So.
Wow. And apparently I know somebody, you know, Carol from Bowling.
Had an at-home birth?
Her oldest daughter had both of her kids at home.
See, I would just be so afraid of complications, but the woman said she had backup and everything.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I want drugs. I want nitrous oxide. Yeah, I want
my
the
babies
epidural.
Mine all happened funny.
Yeah.
My water broke way too early for both of them.
Actually, I didn't want any of that. Planned on having a child.
You told me, I remember one year I hear a tick-tock.
I felt a tightening in my uterus.
But it's not that strong, Julia.
The hormonal desire just to get pregnant, Rocco, for like a second.
Yeah.
It's not that strong,
no,
Julia.
No, it isn't that strong, and I was kind of relieved that...
Casey couldn't.
No, that my first husband... I knew I was dealing with some low sperm motility. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, with number one?
Number two. Oh, I tried to get pregnant with both my husbands to save the marriage. Thank goodness that plan didn't work out.
You could have just gone on a trip.
No, Julia, these are the devious things we do to fool ourselves.
Wow, that's good that never happened.
Yeah. I mean, but I did try. Like, you know, went off the pills and everything.
I remember.
I would have been stuck. I could have dealt with the first one, but the second one, I wouldn't have, I'd be stuck for the whole...
Oh, no, that would have been horrible.
That would have been
horrible. There is a good... Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so... Sharon Osbourne, do we need to revisit anything other than her people are leaking
everything?
That she got maybe 5 to 10 million from CBS, but no one is saying for sure.
And she wants to tell her side of the story. This was just so misplayed.
Yeah, I don't. Do you think she'll run her mouth about this till the end of time?
I hope not.
Yeah. Unless she has an epiphany about herself.
And
she might.
She might. Yeah, everyone.
But her history doesn't.
But people can always grow and change.
Yeah, so. But you know what? I bet Holly Robinson Pete and Leah Remini are glad, but they're also kind of furious because they were year one.
They
were year one on the show.
Yeah.
And Sharon didn't like them, called them ghetto. They went on the record about some other things. Mm-hmm. They did apparently talk to CBS, but they were just like, well, you just have 1 year, whatever, all the BS that they give you. And anyway, when I think they just found out that, wow, people have complained about Sharon here in the workplace. And I mean, shame on CBS.
First of all, I'm going to say something.
But shame on CBS.
First of all, wow, people have complained. HR departments know the history.
But the public learned
the history.
Yeah.
CBS HR knows
that they've had a problem.
Yes,
and they
but what
care.
Happened, the situation was now the public knew.
Got it.
HR departments know. I mean, come on.
But I mean,
I remember I was made to I take a leave of absence instead of quit because at the time too many people had left because of a certain person and a certain company that I work for.
Right.
That perhaps you did too. So I couldn't quit. I had to they talked me into a leave of absence. They know everything that's going
on. Right. Well, anyway, I don't believe that if CBS paid her something, she's going to have to sign something. But
NBC did stuff like that.
Yes,
a lot of people do that around talent.
I mean, and bullying Marie Osmond right out of there.
That's the one we're sad about. She'll get a job back.
I mean, you know, think about it. You could be called out for some foolishness and then have to suffer the terrible consequences of getting paid $5 to $10 million to do nothing. and then go on Dancing with the Stars in the fall.
Well,
I'm just saying, you know.
All right, fine.
But we'll all be watching
yes,
when that
we
show
will.
Comes back April 12th. So
yes, we will.
It was a reboot that the show needed because they didn't lose viewers the way Ellen has because they didn't have the viewers
although,
to lose.
Oh, I took a picture of something I wanted us to play today. We're going to have to do it tomorrow.
Should we play? Do you want to hear Ted, Jason Sudeikis, given his...
Yes.
Because this is what Kathy Connell was talking to us a little bit about what we're going to see on the show, because they've done all this taped
stuff. Let's hear it, yeah.
Okay, and we also have this posted.
Ted Lasso, the comedy series starring Jason Sudeikis as an American football coach who moves to England to manage a pro soccer team, has gotten a lot of love this award season. And now the show's cast of characters is up for a big one, the SAG Award for Best Comedy Ensemble. So Team Lasso got together for a new sketch ahead of the SAG Awards for a little pep talk about their competition. Entertainment Weekly has a preview clip.
Okay, y'all, let's focus up. Got a big night ahead of us, the SAG Awards, and we are nominated for Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Comedy Series. How about that? I'm gonna shoot you straight. Our competition tonight is tougher than ice cold beef jerky. Who we got, Coach?
Dead to me, the flight attendant, the great Creek.
Cold as an ice beef jerky. That's pretty cold.
I wonder if they're having each of the shows do kind of a skit.
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch it because I think this is going to be clever.
So it's so funny that I send that to Kathy Connell and they're the ones that produced it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But like, you didn't really know that.
No,
from
you
the
didn't.
Way, and I watched Entertainment Tonight and they didn't give anything away. So I think that's kind of cute that they were able to get people together and do like a little skit. But he reminded me in that skit why I quit watching that show.
Why?
I got sick of his corny
accent
and his corny phrases and how he turned. I guess I have a thing for Coach Taylor in my heart. If you're not going to be like Coach Taylor on Friday Night Lights, I don't know. Rocco, I know it's a guy show, so you had to watch
it. It's a guy show.
I like it. We're about halfway through it. You know, my wife is slow to watch TV with me, but. Yeah, we enjoy it. I mean, there's a few things going on. There's some soccer. There's some sort of fish out of water stuff. There's some difference between England and America stuff.
Maybe I'll try the second season. Are there two seasons?
There's only one right now.
Oh, well,
they're filming the second one right now.
Oh, no pressure. Then I've watched the whole damn thing. Yeah.
Look at you're ahead of it.
And I'm not going to put it on my favorite
list. If you had a TV journal for this year.
Oh, yeah. I'd win.
I think you're winner chicken dinner big time.
Probably. But I that one is not like a bouquet of flowers in my mind.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like work.
For that exact reason, when I hear him talking, I just thought,
I can't do that.
These coaches and their cliches and this guy.
Oh, you're so funny and their cliches.
I know it. And Sharon Stone, you know, her memoir came out today. And the big bombshell is...
This is a disturbing bombshell.
Well, they said in the one review that I read... on this is that the most painful thing that you do, that she does reveal, is that growing up in this blue-collar town where she won a beauty pageant before she signed with the Ford Modeling Agency in 1977, it's the most disturbing reading because she and her younger sister, Kelly, were abused by their maternal grandfather, aided by their grandmother, who the grandfather also was physically abusive to, sexually abusive to the granddaughters. She would trap the girls in a room with her husband when they visited, starting when they were just toddlers. And he died of a heart attack when she was 14, and Sharon Stone writes that she reached into the casket to check that he could no longer harm them. I poked him, and the bizarre satisfaction that he was at last dead hit me like a ton of ice, and I looked at Kelly. She was 10, and she understood, and we knew it was over. So, you know, she's really getting very, like, I cannot wait to read this book. Writing about, you know, all kinds of things. And there are things that, you know, people take out of context. And she did, like, one of her first movies with Woody Allen. And so there's been, you know, kind of some things. But I just have to read the book in, you know.
Put it in. Now, where are you going to fit that one in?
Well, I got to fit that in between two books that you've currently got me cracking on for the show.
We've got so many books. We've got books, 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 books. We've got them all.
Anyway, I just think I think that we're, you know, I'm going to like it. Komodo dragons, you know.
Well, wait, that was the best.
And 3 years ago, she tweeted a video that showed a 10-foot-long Komodo dragon strolling up her street in Beverly Hills. So dangerous, she wrote. And this was after, you know, she saw one attack her then husband,
Phil
Bronstein.
No, she bought it for his birthday present, the editor of this San Francisco Chronicle, and it attacked him.
I would never, that's when you know you have too much money, when you can buy somebody a Komodo dragon visit in person.
Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah. Rocco, have you ever owned a reptile?
No.
No, I think I wanted one like in fifth grade.
Did you like a possum or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Possum's not a reptile, but.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Oh. Why are you asking him insincere questions that you don't even mean? Did you get that, Rocco? Were you? Yeah, you were. Really didn't want an answer from you because she gave you a riddle wrapped in a non-existent question and. You don't know what happened to you today.
I can't believe you guys are making me work so long today.
Oh,
we are still here.
Julia,
and it's productive.
It's time for the dirt alert. Get yourself some water. Everybody come back. We're going to find out who won the $10,000. We'll be right back.
All right, time for...
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hello, Holly. We're still stunned over the news you brought us at 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be in this dirt alert.
Oh, yeah. We're circling on back to that story, and that's where we're going to... Things are going to get interesting. That is the story that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City cast member Jen Shah was arrested by the feds today for allegedly ripping off hundreds of victims in a telemarketing scam.
This is such a big deal.
Yes,
federal offense.
Oh my gosh.
And that means they've been watching her for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. So just to get the lay of the land here, Jen Shah and her assistant Stuart Smith were going to appear this afternoon before a U.S. district judge in Salt Lake City on charges of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering, for which they face up to 30 years in prison.
That, you know what? And they flaunted the lifestyle. No one could ever figure out how she had all this money and her husband's an assistant coach. And then the story was sort of leaked about, she owns this really amazing algorithm. We just bought it hook, line, and sinker, of course.
I did.
Then that's how she got all her money that targets the ads and stuff. And then this is the very thing that they're flaunting their wealth on TV that gets the feds looking at them.
Well, exactly. Wow. So a security investigator with Homeland Security, the special agent in charge of this case, said that, quote, Sean Smith flaunted their lavish lifestyle to the public as a symbol of their quote unquote success. In reality, they allegedly built their opulent lifestyle at the expense of vulnerable, often elderly working class people.
No.
The indictment from the Southern District of New York.
Uh-oh.
Sounds familiar?
Yep.
Okay.
They have the highest indictment rate in the land.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So they're accusing Jen Shah and her assistant of executing a telemarketing scheme with co-conspirators across 6 states. That would be New York, New Jersey, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. They allegedly ripped off hundreds of victims across the country, many of them elderly, as the Homeland Security agent said, encouraging them to invest in dubious online projects and selling bogus business services from 2012 to as recently as this month in March.
This is so bad.
Keep going. Some of the businesses that they were hawking, pretending that they offered.
Yes. So they allegedly hawked tax preparation, coaching sessions, and website design services, although many of their targets did not own a computer.
Oh, my God.
So then they allegedly, Jen Shah and her assistant, allegedly compiled lists of potential victims or leads, many of whom already had been exploited by them, and then shared these names with co-conspirators who could target them again. Mm. And then in turn, Jen Shah and her assistant would get a cut from sharing those leads.
That is just dirty.
It's disgusting.
Taking people in a vulnerable state and then reselling it and getting another cut off the vulnerable people you already...
And the SDNY, the Southern District of New York, they have a 92% conviction.
I know they do.
Rate when they when they indict somebody. So she better have saved some of her money for lawyers.
Oh my goodness. Right. Because again, Holly, yeah.
We were, you know, I'm wondering what Heather is saying right now.
Mary Crosby.
What Mary Crosby.
The hospital smell.
Oh, Mary Crosby is just like,
So what was happening with the hospital smell?
Okay, well, this is just, that was on the very first episode. But the other women, by the end, by the reunion, the only person that was really still talking to Jen Shah was Lisa with the long nails and the tan hands. Everyone else was sick of her.
Well,
they were sick of her, Lori.
Such an explosive
alcoholic
drama
the kind queen of
friend that nobody wants to have because you can't
couldn't trust what anything how she'd react to making a left-hand turn. Wow. Well, obviously she had a lot of stress going on in her life as she was trying to cover up. This is terrible.
Well, this sounds like a big long sting against her.
Lori,
when the show started.
Don't you think just then? You know.
Yes.
So they didn't know about it until she flaunted. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, just I'm saying it could give you cause, right, Holly?
Well, very much so. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like the movie Goodfellas, when they pull off the Lufthansa heist, where they steal all that money from the airport, and Jimmy and Henry are like, you guys got to lay low with the money. What do? Buy a hot pink Cadillac and fur coats.
Yes.
Why would they?
Yeah. This is what people do.
I've watched a few gangster movies in my life.
And this is always, it's kind of how Teresa and Joe got busted. Because he had a long thing of kind of doing shady deals. People knew in their circle.
Real estate deals.
Yeah, that he pulled fast ones and stuff. But then you go on TV and you give people kind of evidence or you give them enough. You can probably get some search warrants.
Right, and someone who kind of doesn't like you could say, you should check into this.
Yeah, but if you're even on the radar.
Yeah, no, interestingly enough, now Page Six and other tabloids are digging for other kind of angles on this story, and they're going back to a tweet from Jen Shah in September of 2020. She subtweeted, Teresa walked so I could run.
Oh, well, that's very interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. Because Teresa spent a year and a half in jail, and her husband's been like 4 years.
Yeah, you know, based off of this rudimentary understanding of the charges against Jen Shah, she's going to be spending a lot more time than just a year and a half behind bars if she is convicted on this kind of stuff. And also, just as recently as January, Jen Shah was giving interviews about being involved in a new entrepreneur program for women.
Oh.
And that was some of her new business ventures. Back in January, she was talking to Page Six, saying that she was launching a program called Social Commerce to assist women amid the coronavirus pandemic. Oh. Now, that is very insidious.
Yeah.
Well, vague and insidious because we know how women have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
The worst. The absolute
worst. Lost most jobs, had to stay home. Yep.
Yeah. And so she explained at the time, we're helping women pivot shift their business through the quarantine and COVID.
She just goes after the vulnerable.
Yeah.
That is a despicable human being. I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How low? Wow. And she's her husband, do you think her husband knew any of this?
He's never home. He didn't even go to her dad's funeral.
Oh.
I don't know, you know, about those two. About their relationship.
Well, you know, the husband wasn't charged with anything.
Right.
So, you know, who knows?
This is her separate, this is her business. And that she would let us know that the money was from her.
Yeah, what Heather's doing on Instagram, what the other ladies are doing from Salt Lake.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I am not sure if they are commenting at this time because these charges, Jen Shah is in some serious trouble this afternoon, and I think she's going to go bye-bye in the car to jail for quite some time. There you go.
I think you're probably right about that. Oh my gosh.
All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, that was just dirt.
That is
devoted
so
to the Jen Shah.
Well, it's so dirty.
Yeah.
What a scammer. All right, we'll be back.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer Lori.
Everybody knows. Everyone knows that, though. Everybody knows.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes, Julia. And I wonder how much of your attention I'm going to have for my city of debt.
I'm
here for you.
Okay, are you there for me, Rocco?
To me. are you going to pay attention to this? And I said, I focused that whole time Holly was talking.
Well, we'll start with this because you had a little bit of this news, this survey about people's opinions about working from home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you had, you know, you were like, oh, you know, people are going to want to stay home.
Some people are.
For the flexibility. That's the number one reason that people love. You know what's the number one reason why they hate working at home? Tech headaches.
Oh, I would, the internet going out, low internet, not having your IT department to come down and fix your printer. I mean, think of what we would go through.
Right, right.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, this is like a duh because that is like, I think, a universal thing, unless you happen to be like a really good tech savvy person. And I mean, everyone
and had like stellar internet.
But I mean, like you learn early on, even early days of having a computer, having intranet at Carlson Company, you would turn the button, you would shut it off, just power down. Mm-hmm. And that was my the extent of my tech ability.
Do you think that you've improved since then?
No, I'm not any better. And sometimes I can't even find that button.
Today I had to show her. I mean, Julia, I was just doing an email and it just disappeared. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? And
yeah, so I believe that people also miss their office setup.
I would miss my friends.
But they miss their office setup because so many people have had to redo a part of their home to be their office setup. But yeah, the thing they miss the most is the tech. And that just seems like a dud to me.
Yeah.
People love not having to wear pants. They love not having side conversations. They love waking up 5 minutes before, you know, the time to be in a meeting.
Right.
If that's what it is, a morning one. Some people love the, cutting their commute. Other people miss their commute.
Absolutely.
They miss.
We love the people that miss their commute.
That's right.
Anyway. We're here for you.
Anyway.
I'm kind of best of both worlds. I work at home half the day and then come in and spend half the day with you guys.
We do too. Yeah. We work home half days.
Yeah.
I don't consider anything I do is watching stuff.
No, I work on my computer in the morning at home. Oh. I work at home.
Yeah. I don't.
I know you don't.
Yeah, but because you, I mean, I'm watching.
But that's part of your job. I get messages from you at like 7 in the morning.
No,
like,
we are up.
Hey, get this from Good Morning America. So you guys, you don't let anybody doubt that you guys are working hard.
Well, yes, I guess that is
true. And then we have to
true.
Read the damn books at night.
Yeah.
We work 24/7, damn it.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'd watch this many. Like,
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't watch all three morning shows.
No.
Like back in the day when I had a corporate America job, I was just a loyal Today show.
Yes, you were.
I would have it on in, in fact, one time when I was like in one of my between husbands, when I like to live like a vagabond and live hither and there and in people's, hey, I've got a condo downtown Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend said you could live in it rent free for 3 months. I would always have a toaster oven, a coffee maker, and a small television, portable television that I could be in the bathroom or in the kitchen, and a good good mattress, and a boombox.
Mine was the music.
Yeah,
mine was the music. The music,
and then
music.
My clothes.
Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, I can't tell you how many places I live like that. I didn't even turn on the stove. I didn't even hook it up.
This is not surprising.
You can get by.
And a toaster oven, you really can.
Really, and a coffee maker.
And you need a coffee maker, right.
Well,
I'm thinking, I'm trying to think. Yeah,
a French press. Then I didn't even need to plug in a coffee maker.
There you go. Laurie, looks saving on electricity. You're so smart.
I know, the French press. I love that
coffee. I know, you guys drink
that. Ever since I had it the first time in Paris, Julia, I got a brag about that.
And how many months has it been since you've seen your Paris. City, the City of Lights?
So, you know, I've been telling a few people that have asked me, I've given them, like, here's some museums you could look at.
Virtually?
Virtually. That's been one thing that, like, people
have enjoyed doing.
They just didn't occur to them before.
Sure.
You know?
I can't believe, because I tell everyone, I always tell people to go to the zoo, but now.
Yeah, right. Go to the Museum of Mouton. Which is
Rocco? Have you spent your time going to museums?
Did you go
online?
To one museum?
No, I have not.
I gotta admit, I'm done online.
Yeah,
I'm burnt.
Yeah. No, that leads me to my next study of duh. Save the date. Americans are already planning their post-pandemic parties with save the date cards for this, that, and the other thing. People are planning on, you know, I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all. I feel like there's going to be a lot of big 4th of July parties.
Oh, huge, right?
We're going to see even, you know, more celebrities than ever maybe posting. Maybe they won't be posting, but we're going to see a lot of parties. Like, people are just, it's going to be the roaring 20s. I'm telling you, introverts, your time is over.
How are we going to have that? See, here's my whole dilemma with the roaring 20s, Lori. Right. That was a time of debauchery
and so much fun.
But we have these things called smartphones now. Everything's got a photo. Everything has a picture. There's a camera everywhere.
How debauched were you planning on getting in your roaring 20s, Julia?
I mean, if we're going to go all in, you know.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
I don't enjoy photographic evidence.
Well, I didn't know you took debauch so seriously.
I'm doing it with a capital D.
Yeah. But yeah, this is like.
I'm excited for cabin weekends big time.
1 in 4 are planning to have a past birthday celebration or make this year's birthday better.
Brock, or wait till the month of July. You're a July baby too, aren't you?
I'm June 30th.
Yeah. You're June 30th, you cancer kids. Okay, yeah. You're going to be going like it's.
Well, everyone had a pandemic birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone did.
It's true.
Even last year, if your birthday was January, February.
I don't care about my birthday that much, though.
Yeah, but you know what?
Some people have had two.
You know, the thing is that's just fun about your birthday is really and truly, like, just to be grateful that you're here again, that you get to have a birthday. I always think about, like, I mean, how old were you the first time when you had a friend who died? Like, what age were you?
Oh, right. You know.
That's when, like,
right.
a junior year in high school, Tim Netzel wrapped his car around a tree on Howard Gneisen Road and died. I mean, it was just like, you have to, like, love every birthday.
Absolutely.
There is no, it was so shocking to me.
Right.
Just, it was the most shocking thing. And my friend dated him and. He went to high school with my boyfriend. And I mean, it was like a really, anytime that happens, you know, that's like people's first experience.
I think
never a good one, you know, like high school. I think of the Woodbury accident that happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, there's been several. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's for a lot of families. But all right, I'll get back to my studies.
Okay.
Study of duh.
Yes.
If you want to live a longer, healthier life, never go to sleep on an argument.
With yourself or with someone else?
Both.
Okay.
I'm mad at you. Screw you.
You should go to bed mad at yourself.
No, I would agree, Lori.
But this is research from the Oregon State University. And when they say how you deal with daily conflicts can seriously impact your health. When people resolve their issues immediately, the emotional fallout from the argument is almost totally erased. And if it isn't erased and you're hanging on to it, that is stress that builds up in your body and it does affect It does affect your health.
Well, I agree with that. Don't you guys think that? I hate being angry at anybody for more than I lose interest in it. I don't like anger.
Right.
It's not one of my favorite things.
No. But are older people, you know, people are either good at letting go of stuff or they're not.
Right. I'm not. I let
and
go.
And so, like, people who are not good at it, if they get together with somebody who is good at it, I mean, like, if you're
a grudge holder or.
If you're both grudge holders, I mean, this is going to be a long life.
That would be toxic, I think.
It leaves negative residue.
I believe you.
This is
could leave a stain on your sheets.
Well, I had to read the National Study of Daily Experiences. Okay,
Rocco, do you hold grudges?
No,
you're
Italian.
I can be kind of bitter.
You're
Italian.
I forgive too easy.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a grudge holder.
No, I'm not, Lori. You know I'm not. You look at me in the eye and tell me I am.
No, you're not.
I'm not at all.
But
good fault.
Uh-huh.
To a fault sometimes. I should.
So give me an example. Somebody does you dirty and then, but a week
later,
you're over it.
She'll try and get them to, she'll first apologize to them to try and get them to
I'm sorry for my role
in being an a-hole. Right. No, that's what you will
it's
do.
It's really unhealthy, actually.
It's a middle child thing, but it's one of your...
It really is. It could be endearing, maybe.
Yeah. But this was published in the Journals of Gerontology Series B, so just so you know how deep I went.
That I'm so
but
impressed.
It is that it... When you, it will improve your emotional well-being and your health to just...
Don't you agree with that, though? 100% people, if you are holding grudges or something, let it go. It only hurts you.
Yes.
Because the other person doesn't really care anymore.
Right.
That's the big
lesson.
Previous
studies have discovered how impactful chronic stress can be and emotional, you know, it's just, it's, so you just have to, like, work on that. How you deal with conflict, you know, how you're going to deal with it. So, oh boy. Anyway.
Well, thank you for reading that. I think that's helpful, Julia. For people. Though.
I skimmed. Okay. Right. And one eye was closed because it was so tight in the print. I mean, like, what were they saving, you know, money by cramming as
burying
many?
The headline?
Well, you know, it was like all done in the little, you know.
8 point.
Eight, whatever.
You
I don't
printed
even
that
know
off. That. I don't even know how you could read it.
Julia, I had to close an eye, like how you do at the eye doctor.
Better. Best.
Better. All right.
Good. Best.
Okay. We're done. Julia, it is Celine Dion. It is her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Celine. How old is she?
She has reached the magical age of 53.
Oh, happy birthday, Celine.
And Rocco, thank you so much for playing that great
that
song.
I know you're a big fan. I just like hearing you say it.
Well, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
Yes.
Yeah, Celine Dion.
Did you see her in Vegas during her residency?
Okay.
There?
It is.
Is that a loaded question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We got nothing but time.
Oh, it's
and
really.
Julia really loves to tell this story, and she's in the perfect mood to tell it, too, because it was similar
it fries
to
my
the
ass.
Mood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it chaps your ass.
Oh, so bad. So Bill, my ex-husband, was so sweet and got us tickets, and I always wanted to go. First of all, I bought tickets on air to go see Garth Brooks in Vegas and spent a lot of money and forgot when the concert was and bought tickets for a month earlier than I was going and the concert already passed. So that was one screw up in Vegas with tickets. And then Bill buys me this for an anniversary present. And I'm so excited to go. So excited to go. I got so sick.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go. And for years, I wanted to go and wanted to go and wanted to go. And I was so sick. So
you would ask me to go. And
I would ask everyone.
No
one would go. Bill finally said, I'll take you. And so Bill ends up giving him away to perfect strangers at New York.
A
casino.
Couple?
Yep.
Oh,
do you want to go?
Lucky day.
So lucky.
Because they were like $300
those
tickets.
So expensive. And I was sick at home. I couldn't go to Vegas. I couldn't do anything. And so then last year, or 15 months ago, probably when she came to the Target Center, for some reason, Hugo, who didn't even like her.
Oh, no, I love Celine Dion.
Not like I did,
not
Lori.
Like you do, yes,
I mean,
sorry.
I have her first album. I loved her. You are a late bloomer to her.
Yes.
And Barbara Streisand, you were a late bloomer. I mean, but you were.
Yeah.
So anyway, Lori gets to go for free.
I wanted to go.
I have wanted to see her.
I can't
help
it that you're out of town.
You're
out of town and not able to go. We would have gone together. Why do you begrudge me?
I do, because you were so unworthy, because you used to say that about concerts. Yeah, Julie, I'm not taking you. You're not worthy.
Yeah.
You don't like them enough. So she wouldn't take me to places. But that one really was a hard one. I was so bummed.
Yeah. Listen, it was because Celine Dion, when she first came on the music scene, shall we say, that was not my first preference
genre.
Of music.
No, but it
at
was
all.
Mine.
Right.
And
I grew to appreciate her very, very much. And I was super excited. And it was an incredible show.
Oh, I'm just.
Apparently,
so
she
go,
always
Rocco.
Gives an
Rocco,
incredible
of
show.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Right. She sang the Titanic song.
Right.
I mean,
she was so amazing. And, you know, also people get.
Remember how sick I was?
Stronger and really, like, she was like feeling like. It was her tour. Renee had been gone
for a few years.
And she had put it together. And it was just.
Oh, I was so terrific. Sad.
Yeah, and you've tried to make me feel bad about it periodically here and there.
Lori, you never feel bad about anything.
I don't really. At all. You know, that's what I said. You try to make me feel bad.
I do, but Rocco, that one was a hard one.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
And then the Garth Brooks tickets, you know, that I bought. And I'm like, Lori, I'm getting excited to go. And they're like, well, that was last month. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember I booked the wrong everything? I've had
it.
Well,
I thought you said your husband did it.
No.
He got the right tickets.
Yeah. And then
you couldn't go because you were really and truly sick.
I was so sick.
And then you got even sicker about the fact that you were missing.
Oh, no,
that.
But I was so sick.
But you couldn't even lift a sinus or something.
I had bronchial. I was getting a lot of bronchial stuff back then.
You're holding on to too much bad chi.
No, I
need a gum.
Oh, but I was so bummed. Yeah,
That's bad concert experience.
But I think a lot of people have those things when you wanted to go to something so bad and you get sick or something happens
or
and you can't go.
Or pandemic happens.
Damn, yeah. Rolling Stones, Row 15.
Yeah.
At U.S. Bank Stadium. Mm. Yeah. I'm getting inundated with rubber sheets and rubber pants right now after our birthing at home conversation. Okay. I'm just going to shut off my computer today and hope tomorrow they forget about me.
Yeah.
What day is it? It's Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday, all right. Julia. And I think it's last night of Soul of a Nation ABC.
That's I've been taping those. I watched some of those.
Very good series.
Did your lawn furniture whip around yesterday in the wind?
Casey secured it.
Oh, I found a chair down on the baseball field yesterday night. And it's windy. My lights.
It almost felt like it was some kind of a baby force wind. It was howling.
But it was hot. It was kind of romantic.
Warm.
It was romantic wind.
Yeah.
In a way.
It was a romantic wind.
See, chaotically horny in lockdown.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. Because we've had different, you know.
Just different
simulation,
winds.
You know.
Anticipation of all the vibrators that are stuck in the Suez Canal. When are those getting delivered?
I know. I really should tell you about
tell me about the thing that you were telling me about.
Okay.
About the curse of the Pharaoh.
Okay, so this is the talk of Egypt.
Okay.
Right now, did the curse of the pharaohs cause the Suez Canal cargo ship blockage? So it's being blamed for causing it because the country is preparing to move ancient mummies for a parade. The pharaoh's curse is the age-old myth that anyone who disturbs the mummy of an ancient Egyptian pharaoh will face bad luck or even death. And we all saw Brandon Fraser in The Mummy, that too, right there.
That's why he was trending today.
Yeah, death will come on quick wings for those who disturb the king's peace, says the warning on King Tut's tomb.
Right.
And they think the superstitious believe the curse was triggered for preparations for the Pharaoh's Golden Parade. They have been preparing to transfer 22 mummies of ancient kings and queens to a new museum, just as the tragedy and bad luck struck Egypt with the Suez Canal conundrum.
Wow.
A fatal train crash also killed dozens, and they had a building collapse in Cairo.
No.
So people are very not happy about this. Do not move the mummies from their place, blah, blah, blah. So archaeologists said the curse is a bunch of hooey and everyone needs to settle down. But people, you know, like I'm superstitious about that.
Moving dead bodies.
Mummies. Yeah, I buy into that.
I would,
you know,
100%.
You stopped doing that after a while.
Yeah, I know. We all did, you know, but crying out loud. I won't walk under a ladder, but I'll walk under a tower. Go figure.
Right. Ladders are too... There, you'd hit your head, Lori. Okay, we'll be back. Have a good night.
Job done. Off you go.